Saga Egmont presents Gun Thunder by Carson McLeod, read by Blake Kubina. Chapter 1. The man called Noble dropped down out of the snowy Rockies and rode out onto the broad Colorado prairie. The posse would arrive back at Jamestown by now. They had given up the chase just shy of noon. The big black Noble Road proved more than a match for their mounts.
"A double ration of oats for you next time we come across any," he said, and patted the stallion on the neck.
But there wouldn't be oats for miles yet. Boulder was to the south, but they knew him there, so he had turned north for the empty grasslands of Wyoming. At a frigid mountain stream, he dismounted and allowed the big horse to drink his fill while he topped off his canteen. It was a silent place, almost holy in nature. The kind of quiet place where a man could sit back, rest, take it all in. A man might settle here, run a few cows, watch them grow, and just listen to the trickling stream in peace.
"Peace," Noble snorted. What right did he have to that?
He didn't belong in such a place, no matter what he might want. Back in the saddle, Noble guided the stallion through a thicket of juniper before coming out into an open flat. That was the first time he saw her. She rode a little buckskin mare, and by the looks of both, they'd come a long way over rough country. Her hair hung long and loose, blonde locks filtering the setting sun's last rays. Noble could see little of her features. More hair covered her face like a veil. She was tall, though. The stirrups were let all the way out and still came up inches short. She wore a flimsy dress, torn in several places around the knees and hem, dusty from travel. Now where would a woman come from out here? Boulder, 40 miles south, was the nearest town. Jamestown, 10 miles farther and more to the west. There were a few settlements scattered along the edge of Colorado's eastern slope, gold camps mostly, but these were all at least a dozen miles to the west. Lost in her thoughts, she didn't see Noble until the tired buckskin stopped and she came right up on him.
"Sorry, mister," she said.
She tugged the reins to one side, but the exhausted horse refused to go on.
"I'd say you got your money's worth out of that horse, ma'am."
"Bailey was my brother, Chet's horse. Saddle, too. I had to leave, though, and she was the only one saddled."
"If you aim to keep that horse alive, you'd best stop for a time."
"Can't stop. Not with them after me," she said. "I've got to."
She swayed for a moment, then fell from the saddle. Noble let out a curse while scrambling down to see about her. On his knees, he cradled her head and looked her over. Nothing seemed broken. No sign of injury to her head. She'd fallen on soft sand and fresh spring growth. He lifted her up, shocked at how light she was, and carried her back through the thicket before setting her gently beside the stream. Noble took off his coat, rolled it up for a pillow, and eased her head down. With his hand, he brushed the hair out of her face. She was young, not much more than 20, and sweat caked a layer of rust-colored dirt to her features. Angry red welts covered her bare arms and face.
"She must have ridden through brush and branches. Ridden through them at a run, too, by the looks of those," Noble muttered to himself.
Walking through the juniper again, he retrieved both horses, watered the buckskin, and picketed each on some fresh grass. He stripped the saddle off his stallion and moved it near the girl. Then he did the same for the mare. There were sores along the smaller horse's back and flanks. That saddle hadn't been off for days. He carried some salve in his bags and treated the buckskin as best as he was able. He opened the girl's saddlebags, looking for a clue as to who she was or why she was out there. They proved empty.
She didn't have any weapons. Didn't seem to have much of anything, really. Only the tattered clothes she wore, and the tired little mare.
Noble gathered an armload of juniper branches, along with bits of tinder, and started a fire. He took a battered coffee pot from his saddlebags, filled it at the stream, and soon had coffee going. Pouring himself a cup, Noble laid a pistol in his lap and leaned back against the trunk of a tall pine. He had just finished the first cup.